would like to look at Genesis chapter 21 today. It's found on page 18 in the Pew Bible. Page 18 in the Pew Bible. Genesis chapter 21, we will be looking at verses 1 through 8 this morning. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Let us hear God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah born to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. So ends the reading of God's word today. Let us pray together. O Lord our God, we thank you for the Bible. How precious it is to us to be able to have your word, your written word to us, your people. And we pray now that you will send God the Holy Spirit to teach us your word and to apply it to our hearts, that we might understand it and grow in our faith. We need you to teach us, O Lord God, or else our learning will be of no value. Press your word upon our hearts. Show us our Savior. Teach us your word, we pray, and direct every word that it will honor you, O Lord God. We pray in your name. Amen. On the front porch of his little country store in Illinois, Abraham Lincoln and Barry, his partner, stood one day. Business was gone. Barry asked, how much longer can we keep this going? Lincoln answered, it looks as if our business has just gone out. Then he continued, you know, I wouldn't mind so much, Lincoln said, if I could just do what I want to do. I want to study law, and I wouldn't mind so much if we could just sell everything we've got, pay all our bills, and have enough money left over to buy one book, Blackstone's Commentary on English Law. But I guess that's never going to happen. Well, a strange-looking wagon was coming up the road. The driver kind of angled it up close to the store, up to the store porch, then looked at Lincoln and said, I'm trying to move my family out west, and I'm out of money. I've got a good barrel here that I could sell for 50 cents. Well, Abraham Lincoln's eyes went along the wagon and came to his wife, looking at him pleadingly, face thin and emaciated. Lincoln ran his hands into his pocket, took it out, and had 50 cents. And he said, I reckon I could use a good barrel. And Lincoln later said that was the last 50 cents he had. And all day long, that barrel sat on the porch of that store because he bought it. And Barry kept chiding Lincoln about it. Why did you spend your last 50 cents on a barrel? Well, Late in that evening, Lincoln walked out. He happened to look down the barrel, and he saw something in the bottom of it. Papers that he hadn't noticed before. His long arms went down into the barrel, and as he fumbled around, he hit something solid. He pulled out a book, and he stood petrified. That book was Blackstone's commentary on English law. Lincoln later wrote, "I stood there holding the book and looking up towards heaven. Then came a deep impression on me that God had something for me to do. He was showing me now that I had to get ready for it, or else why did he do something like this? Something like a miracle," he said, "that this would ever happen to me." The Lord directs our lives and unfolds things and his plan for our lives. And at this point, we have no indication that Lincoln was a committed Christian or a believer at this point. But you can see how God unfolded his plan for his life. How much more does he do that for the lives of his people? His plan for the lives of his people was determined before the world ever was created. And here in Genesis 21, we see the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. But we see how it unfolded. We can also learn something on how God unfolds his plan in our lives. Now, we saw in Scripture God making promises to Abraham. Now, he doesn't tell us his secret promises like he did to Abraham and Sarah, but he does have plans for our lives, and he unfolds them. And sometimes you can experience things like Abraham Lincoln did, where things just happen to show up, and one door is closed and another door is opened. So let's look at the unfolding of the Lord's plan for your life. Let's look at Genesis 21, 1 through 8, and see what we can learn about this unfolding of the Lord's plan for your life. First of all, his plan for your life is unique. His plan for your life is unique. You see this in verses 1 and 2. Notice how unique God's plan for Sarah was. She never thought that anything like this would happen to her. If you would have talked to her when she was young, and you would have told her that all this was going to happen, that God was going to make a covenant with her husband, she would have said, "What is wrong with you? What are you talking about?" But that's what God did. It's unique. And our lives, the plans for our lives, are also unique as well. Do you remember back in John chapter 21, when Jesus spoke to Peter about how he was going to die, back in verse 18. Then Peter turned around and he saw the other disciples. He said, "Wait a minute, if I'm going to die this way, what about the rest of them?" Jesus says, "Don't you worry about them. My plan for their life is different. For their lives, it's different. You just follow me." You see, God's plan for your life is unique. It's unique for each one of us, each one of you. There's some interesting words that are used here in these verses. Notice where it says that the Lord had visited Sarah. This word "visited" in Hebrew means to look after or attend to. The Lord looked after and attended to Sarah. The emphasis here is on what God did. It wasn't Sarah. It wasn't anything she did. It was God who did it in her life. He took the initiative. And same way with the word "did" in verse 1. said, and the Lord did for Sarah. That word did means to fashion or to accomplish. God did it all. He took the initiative. He does that in your life too. He closes one door. He opens another door. He directs the steps of your life. Matter of fact, Psalm 37:23 says this. Psalm 37:23 says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Now that word he is not referring to the man, but in Hebrew it's referring to the Lord. The righteous steps, the good steps or righteous steps can also be translated, are ordered by the Lord. And the Lord delights in his ways. The Lord delights when he directs the steps of his people and sees them going in that direction. God did it all. But they're unique. Your life is unique from someone else. You might look at someone else's life and say, oh, if my life was just like theirs. But understand, they have problems and difficulties too. Everyone does. That's because of sin. There's sin in everyone's life, in every family. Secondly, notice the plan for your life is certain. The plan for your life is certain. Notice in verses 1 and 2, how much confirmation is given to the Lord. Notice it says, as he has said. Notice verse 1, 2. The Lord visits Sarah, as he has said. The Lord did for Sarah, as he has spoken. For Sarah conceived, bore Abram a son at the time which God had spoken to him. You get what he's saying in verse 1 and 2? It's certain, just like God said. Just like he said. That's why you can rest in the Lord. That's why you don't have to worry about things in your life. Because the Lord is directing your life. That's when a door closes or something happens that the Lord is leading you in a different path. You don't have to worry because he is directing your life. And it's certain to come about. And then thirdly, as we look at the nature of the Lord's plan for your life, thirdly, his plan for your life is very special. His plan for your life is very special. This was the beginning of Abraham becoming the father of a great nation. See that? It says in verse 2, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. That word set is the Hebrew word moed, and it means appointed. God's special appointed time. That's what he said. This was something that was very special in his life. Now, you can look back on your life and you can see some of the very special things that happened to you. You can look back and say, well, yeah, this happened and that happened. And you can look at different things that were very special in your life. And they didn't happen by chance. God directed them. They were appointed by God. And they were very special. You can look at them. So that's the nature of the Lord's plan for your life, as we see here in the life of Abraham and Sarah in verses 1 and 2. They're unique. God's plan for your life is unique. It's certain and is very special. See that in verses 1 and 2. Secondly, in verses 3 through 5, notice the timing of the Lord's plan. Notice the timing of the Lord's plan for your life. First of all, we notice the nature of the Lord's plan for your life, verses 1 and 2. Secondly, notice the timing of the Lord's plan for your life. See this in verses 3 through 5. Abraham calls the name of his son born to him Isaac. And the word Isaac means laughter. Laughter. Because it made them laugh. Someone, a woman 90 years old, a man 100 years old, giving birth. I mean, it made them laugh. Why did God have Abraham and Sarah wait so long at such an old age to have Isaac? Why? Well, you will have to wait to ask him when you get to heaven. Because there's no answer. Other than that, the Lord wanted to make a great name and show that he can do anything he wants to, but when it ultimately comes down to it, you're going to have to ask him. God often does things. His timing seems so unusual. He often does things that seem so unusual. Look at your life. Can you see many strange and unusual things? Now, let's just add a little liberty here to maybe what Sarah might have gone through. Maybe when she went to the market and took Isaac along, maybe one of the vendors might have said, here's a gift for your grandson. She'd say, oh, no, it's my son, not my grandson. You know, she might have heard things like that, you know, because of her age. But you could just imagine it. Unusual events. And he does do things that seem so unusual, doesn't he? Look at your own life. I'm sure you can see that. You can see those strange and unusual things in your life. Why does God do them? We don't know. He just does. Here's an example of something that he did that we can see the advantage of. On March 1st, 1950, choir practice was scheduled in a local church in Beatrice, Nebraska. When the pastor and his wife and daughter were ready to leave for a 7:30 meeting, they discovered that the little girl had messed her dress up and needed to be changed. So they were going to arrive late that time, and we're going to be way past 7:30. A high school sophomore named Ladona had trouble with her geometry problems and had to stay to finish her homework, even though she always got there early. Two sisters were delayed because they couldn't get their car started. Mrs. Schuster normally arrived at 7:20 every time there was choir practice. But that night, her mother needed her, so she had to stop there first on the way and was going to be late. One man took a nap and overslept. And so one thing after another, and there were others who had problems as well. So the choir that normally arrived early, they were all late. They were detained. Why? Well, at 7:25, due to a gas leak, the church blew up. And all of them that arrived late realized if they would have been there inside that church, they would have all been killed. They realized that God's providence, that all these things that happened to them, was God's hand saving their life. Interesting how God works and God's unusual ways in directing his people. Secondly, notice his timing does not negate his promises. Notice his timing does not negate his promises. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Ur. He became the father of Isaac at age 100. He and Sarah had to wait 25 years. 25 years, but the promise was fulfilled. Now think about that. 25 years is a long time. When you wait a long time, what happens? You tend to think it won't happen. Ishmael was one of the tragic sins that happened because they wouldn't wait. Well, think about that. 25 years. Ever waited 25 years on something? To wait 25 years? That's what they did. 25 years. But don't think that God won't do things if you have to wait. It doesn't negate His promises. Arnie was talking about the passage in 2 Peter about the scoffers who said, one day is like another. You know, they talk about the Lord's coming, but look how long it's been. The sun goes up, the sun goes down, and nothing's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It's been too long. It's going to happen. Doesn't negate His promises. Thirdly, His timing, when fulfilled, brings immeasurable joy, thanksgiving, and praise. Notice how excited Sarah was. Now, being a parent at this age is not normally possible unless God intervenes. And that is exactly what happens. But notice how much more joyful and thankful and full of praise they were when they realized it was accomplished by God. They saw His hand. They knew it was His hand. Has something happened in your life and you look at it and you say, oh, I know God did this. There's no way I could have done something like this. God actually worked in this way. Immeasurable joy and praise. When you wait a long time for something, you tend to appreciate it even more. So, the unfolding of the Lord's plan for your life, we saw the nature, the Lord's plan for your life in verses 1-2. We looked at the timing of the Lord's plan for your life in verses 3 through 5. And now lastly, in verses 6-8, notice the ways of the Lord's plan for your life. Verses 6-8. The ways of the Lord's plan for your life. First of all, His ways are so different for each believer. His ways are so different. What has the Lord done in your life that is unique just for you? We see the uniqueness here of what He did for Abraham and Sarah and how it's so different for the other believers in the Bible that we see. And they're so different in your life from someone else. And look what Abraham did. He didn't learn yet. And twice he had Sarah say that she was his sister, half-truth. And he forgot, didn't realize, didn't remember God's covenant promises. So different for each believer. How God directs your life and what He does in your life. I remember our first trip to Bulgaria. Communism had just fallen, but the customs people at the airport didn't think it had fallen. And remember standing in line behind one of the, being next in line to go through and seeing the person up in front of me opening suitcases and going through everything. And there I had many Bibles, Christian literature, lots of things, but especially thousands of dollars that belonged to Emmanuel. He wanted me to bring it over because when he came back, he didn't know what they were going to do to him. And I was thinking, how am I going to explain this to this customs officer, this thousands of dollars that I have? Well, just before we went, there was a customs official that was through the sign that said Nationals. And he waved us on to go through him instead of waiting in the line. And all he did was take my passport, our passports, and stamp them. Have a good day. Never looked at anything. never checked anything. Well, all the other people coming from different countries had to go through everything. After I thought about that, I didn't realize it at first, but after we thought about it, we thought, isn't that incredible? That's unbelievable. God works differently in your lives. Different ways. I remember when we received our first daughter, Abby, we were waiting anxiously to receive our daughter, Amy, from Korea. While we were waiting, I was contacted that there was another girl here in the county that some very unusual things had happened, and they wanted to place her with us too. And he asked me, how long will it take for you to be ready? And of course, I'm kind of overwhelmed all this. I said, well, I guess a week or so. And he said, try a day. Not a week. So, unusual things. Or when I began to date Bev. We were out one night, coming home from coffee in a coffee house, I guess. And I gave her a kiss on the cheek. And being the strong man, the leader, how a man is supposed to be, forthright, determined, honest, upfront. She asked me what that meant. And of course, being that kind of man that I was, I looked at her and I said, what do you want it to mean? Well, so anyhow, we started the date. Different for each believer. God works differently in your lives. Jesus says, come, follow me. We're behind him. He's leading. Secondly, we are often so surprising to each believer. Notice the way we expect things, and God changes it. It's so surprising to each believer the way God works. Saul was on Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. The word was out. He's coming to Jerusalem. He's going to take people with him. Get ready. Believers were on edge, upset. You can imagine. But something happens. God converts him. What a surprise. Unbelievable. The believers can't believe it. This Saul, this guy who was going all over the region and putting people in prison, probably there when they stoned Stephen, is now a Christian? Wait a minute. That can't be true. They even doubted it. God's ways are surprising. Put yourself back 30 years ago in your life and look forward. Aren't you surprised as to what God has done since then? Thirdly, his ways can be quite perplexing to each believer. You know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding because it can look very perplexing. You can't understand it. Job went in an audience with God, and by the time God was done talking to him, Job says, I can't understand it. What's wrong with me for even asking? Sometimes things just don't make sense. Sometimes we just don't understand. The ways of the Lord's plans for your life. Lord's plan for you. So different, so surprising, and quite perplexing. The Lord is faithful. He is a faithful God. He does what is right and what is good. And He does direct our lives. He directs your life. You have His Word to encourage you and strengthen you on your way. But you have to read it. You have to look at it. You have to study it to get the strength that you need. Very interesting thing happened during the Revolutionary War. A loyalist spy appeared at the headquarters of Hessian Commander Colonel Johann Rall. He was carrying an urgent message. George Washington and his Continental Army had secretly crossed the Delaware River that morning and were advancing on Trenton, New Jersey, where the Hessians were encamped. The spy was denied an audience with the commander and instead wrote his message on a piece of paper because he couldn't get to him. He tried, and they just wouldn't let him. A porter took the note to the Hessian colonel, but because Rawl was involved in a poker game, he stuffed the unread note into his pocket, and that's why he couldn't get an audience with him, because he was playing a poker game. When the guards at the Hessian camp began firing their muskets in futile attempt to stop Washington's army, Rawl was still playing cards. Without time to organize, the Hessian army was captured. The battle occurred the day after Christmas, 1776, giving the colonists a late present, their first major victory of the war. He didn't read the message. He could have won, but he didn't read the message. You see, that's what happens to Christians. They don't read the message. The strength is there. The encouragement is there. God's Word is there, and we need it. God directs your life through providence. The events and situations that He brings into your life, how do you look at those things? Even the difficult ones. Even now, the Lord delights in the plans that will bless you and mold you and grow your faith. You have a God who reigns in heaven, whose primary concern is to make you holy and not happy all the time. He's more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. And because that is true, that is what true love is all about. And your God has that perfect true love for you, because He loves you with an everlasting love. And no one has a greater love for you than your Savior, who gave His life for you and promises never to leave you or forsake you, but promises to love you with a perfect true love and everlasting love. No one loves you more than your Savior.